Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show with me, Brilliant Ideas, and my trusty sidekick, Aaron. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Here another Saturday morning talking about food, fun, entertainment. Got lots of cool guests coming on this morning. For those that are joining us, we have Corrine Trang joining us as our first guest this morning. We have Jesse Jones, and last but not least, we have Mark Maidwell. So it's going to be a great, great show this morning. Let me turn off the stupid superhero music so you can hear me, Got a great, great, great show going on this morning. And this morning, too, we're going to bring on our food news girl, if I can find her here on the phone list. Good morning, Laurie. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, guys.
How are you?
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're here.
We are here. That helps.
Do you have any food news this morning? By the way, too, I don't have a whole lot of time, so you can't talk a whole lot because we got a busy morning. But do you have a quickie for us?
Sure.
I think he just said you talk too much, Lori.
Did you pick up on that? Wow. I was trying to be coy.
I try to talk, but he doesn't let me.
That was pretty direct. Laura, you talk a little much, so keep it short.
Well, you know how he picks on me. I don't have time to talk. He rushes.
Nobody has time to talk when Brilliant's talking.
True.
All right. Are you guys done playing? We got a show to do. Laura,
we got a show.
You got any quick food news for it?
We have a show to do?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if you wanted to announce the winner first, but since you're rushing me, I'll do the wine thing.
If you're listening, I was going to you first. So go ahead and tell us. Give us the wine thing first.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to dedicate this wine to our wine czar, Brian Fairchild, because I know he's going to be laughing when he hears it. Somebody sent me a surprise in the mail, and it was the big kahuna, and I got try it. Who was that?
Hey, Aaron, have you ever gotten a big kahuna in the mail?
No, I don't know what I would do if I got a big kahuna in the mail. I don't know if I'd be able to handle that properly. I just think I would have issues. If a big kahuna came to me in the mail.
Anyway, Laurie, how was the big kahuna in the mail? How was it?
Actually, it was pretty good. It kind of has a Charles Schwab, like a two-buck chuck.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you have no other wine in the house, I'll take it.
So, Laurie, did it have a hint of oak and chocolate and apple pie?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just wondering if it combined chocolate, apple pie, and raspberries or whatever that last one
That wine was from so many long ago.
It had a hint of arugula.
A hint of arugula. There you go. And for those who may be joining us for the first time, if you don't know what we're talking about, Big Kahuna is my favorite wine. It costs $1.99 per bottle from Fresh and Sleazy markets, and I buy it all the time, and everybody makes fun of me, but it really isn't a bad wine, is it, Laurie?
No, and it costs you more because you shipped it to New Jersey, so you splurge.
Anyway, enough of that. Now, speaking of the contest you mentioned a minute ago, yes, we need to announce the winners for our contest of What's in the Cupboard. And this week we actually had more entries than we had the previous week, so I guess we're getting somewhere. And for those of you who don't know anything about our contest, and I don't know where you've been, maybe in a cave somewhere, but What's in the Cupboard is a contest that we do each week where we give you 6 ingredients. You go make a meal with the 6 ingredients, and you post it on Facebook. We made it easier last week because people were complaining that they didn't have time to take photos and make the meal. So all you got to do is post the recipe, but we prefer to see the meal and the photos. But anyway, to get more details, you can go to whatsinthecupboard.weebly.com. We also post that information on the Facebook page. And I picked 2 winners. I didn't even talk it over with my crew, but I picked 2 winners this week. The prize is a couple of bottles of Big Butt barbecue sauce, a CD from J.C. Dawn, and it's a chicken rub that we're giving away too, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a bottle of Big Butt's original and chicken dust, Big Butt's chicken dust rub.
Is that what it is? Okay, so it's 1 bottle of sauce and 1 chicken dust.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it'd probably be better if I could learn what the prizes are before I even get on the radio. But anyway, I have picked the winner, even though I do believe my post last night should have been the winner. I can't play, but I'm going to give the prize to Brian Fairchild, our wine czar, because he does help us out, and he does post a lot of cool recipes, and Brian supports the show, and he does play along. So, Brian, you are the winner this week for the Big Butts barbecue sauce, the chicken rub, or chicken dust, and the CD from J.C. Dawn. So thank you for participating. And also, since I'm a kind-hearted person this morning, we're giving away a second prize. And the second prize will be 2 pounds of smoking wood from Baxter's Original. And we're giving the second prize to Pete Bennick. And Pete participated this week. Thank you, Pete. And, Pete, we gave you the consolation prize, but it's a good prize. You get the smoking woods. We'll be sending that to you. So thank you, everybody, for participating. And we'll keep doing this every week. Tomorrow we'll be posting the next 6 ingredients for the next contest. And thanks for playing along. And on that note, we're going to move right along here. Laurie, I'm going to keep you on with us in case you want to interject anything with our next guest. Our next guest is Corinne Trang. She's a cookbook author. She's an expert in Asian cuisines. She's a beverage and food consultant, brand commodity spokesperson, lecturer, chef. In other words, she's a busy lady. She's a frequent radio and television guest on NPR, Business Talk Radio, Bloomberg, Martha Stewart, Living Radio, CBS, The Early Morning Show, ABC, View the Bay, NBC, Today Show, Fox News, Discovery, Lifetime TV, Food Network, and more. And we are glad that we can have Corinne. I don't know how you even have time to be on our show, but welcome to our show, Corinne.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
That just made me laugh.
My God. I mean, I'm reading all
you
this stuff.
You should have read
like,
that.
Yeah,
and you forgot
you
to say she's even beautiful.
Yeah, on top of that. And also, she does yoga. So, for God's sake, do you have time for anything else?
I'm talking to you right now. That's really funny. Oh, my God.
Well, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us. And, by the way, folks, you can find out more about her on her website, which is KorinneTrang.com. And like I said, she's a busy woman. So instead of me jabbering along, which I usually do, tell us about Corinne and how you got involved in cooking and being an author and all those other fine things I just mentioned.
Well, you just told them half the story, so I'm going to tell you the other half. how did I get involved in as a food professional? I started as a as, you know, one of the editors at Severa Magazine. I was a test kitchen director there back in the mid-90s before I wrote my first cookbook. And then I followed the first cookbook with, you know, seven others. But see, I feel like I'm repeating myself. But anyway, no, I grew up in a family that, you know, where food was really, really important. My father's in the food business. He's an importer, an exporter of Asian ingredients. And so, and I had, you know, we had restaurants growing up in France, in Paris. You know, we had both French and Asian restaurants. And so, and my grandmother, on my mother's side of the family, on the French side, was also an amazing cook. So I've always had food in my blood, you know, growing up in a French-Chinese family with, you know, roots in Cambodia, Vietnam, and Indonesia. We always had, you know, a lot of food, and everybody always cooked.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's where I got my, you know, where I fell in love with food. I guess I just grew up with it. It's in my blood, basically.
Now, you said you have 11 cookbooks?
Yeah, I have 7 or 8 cookbooks at this point.
so many, she doesn't even know how many.
I'm counting on my shelf right here. I'm like, wow, no. The latest one, Asian Flavors Diabetes Cookbook, just won a Nautilus Book Award, which I was very pleased with. So that was really nice. It just happened last month. Yeah, thank you. And so basically in my cookbooks, I focus on Asian cuisines rather than French cooking because, you know, I mean, there are so many French cookbooks out there. Not that there aren't any Asian ones, but it's just, for me, it was really fascinating. Just, and I have traveled there so many times in Asia that I just love the cultures and, you know, the variety of ingredients, the colors and the textures. And so I focused my food career on Asian cuisines, basically.
Well, it sounds like you're busy, and can people find your cookbooks on your website, and also, I guess, all the books, you know, websites?
Yeah, they can find it on Amazon.com. You know, I mean, through my website at KarenTrang.com, but also on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and I think Goodreads also, and any number of other, you know. I guess online book vendors. they're everywhere.
Now you're also doing this you're doing a yoga thing too. Tell us about the yoga connection with food.
Well, you know, I am a longtime practitioner of yoga, and I mean, I've been practicing for probably, my God, I keep saying over 15 years, but it's getting like almost 20 years now. it's something that's incredibly centering for me. It brings me a great deal of peace, and as a writer, it's very helpful. And also, I started connecting, you know, food to it, or I started using the principles of yoga, and you know, in my food, because food in Asia is really regarded as medicine. You know, when you eat something, you're not supposed to just eat it. The food that you put in your body is supposed to be healing. So, or it has healing, you know, properties. And so when you look at yoga, you know, whatever postures you're doing, those have healing, you know, properties as well. And so food and yoga just sort of came together in my mind at one point. And I started putting, you know, like creating my lifestyle around that, around those two things. And so, you know, I don't see the difference between the two at this point. It's very much connected. And so I started creating workshops, and I'm teaching a retreat actually in Austin, Texas at Lake Austin Spa Resort from June 23rd to 26th, where I'll be teaching meditation, food meditation, as well as mindful cooking and eating practices, and also yoga. So, and we're going to be putting all of that together, and I'll be showing you, you know, the people how they can create a healthy lifestyle.
I have a question. Can I interrupt you there for a second? You said that food is supposed to have healing properties, and what you eat is just like yoga. And I know that Aaron's probably sitting over thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Tell me, please, does bacon have healing properties?
It's very funny.
You totally read my mind. I couldn't wait to ask. I didn't want to interrupt, but I couldn't wait to ask the question, what healing properties does bacon have so that I can have a listen.
I guess if it makes you smile, you know, which is very important when you're eating, you should always be smiling. If bacon makes you smile, then that's pretty good right there. You know, does it have really specific healing properties? No. But if it makes you smile, I think that, you know, when you're at the table, one of the things that I always advocate is you know, when you sit at the table, you should always be or feel positive, you know, because you digest food much better that way than if you're anxious or angry. So food is a happy thing. It shouldn't be associated with anything that's sad, you know, in my humble opinion. And so, you know, if you're eating bacon and it's putting a big smile on your face and you're just saying, then go for it. You know, but it's all about, really, it's all about, you know, remembering to just, you know, not eat so much of it that you start feeling bad. So you got to watch. That's all. You know, a slice of bacon.
I know. When I eat bacon, there's always a giant smile on my face. And I know Aaron just posted this morning. Aaron, I loved your salad, by the way. Aaron posted a salad on my Facebook page this morning with nothing but bacon and what was that, like string bean? One string bean,
just for a little color, but it was all bacon. And I figured the salad would go with a maple syrup dressing.
Okay, so then if you were to come to my home and you really wanted bacon, what I would do is I'd probably fill that plate with string beans and put a, you know, a light sprinkle
bacon on top.
Just the flavor. Because, see, in Asia also, one of the interesting things about Asian cooking is that, you know, meat and seafood, really they're flavors, you know, they're not, you don't eat such an abundance of it, you know. There's a great emphasis on greens, a great emphasis on spices and vegetables, and meat and seafood really are flavor enhancers. In fact, a lot of this stuff, you know, they're preserved, like pork can be preserved in any number of ways or dried, so can, you know, any types of poultry like chicken or duck or squab. These are dried, they're used in small quantities, not always, I mean, they can be cooked fresh as well, but a lot of times meat, even in a stir fry, you'll have a little bit of meat, just the flavor, and then a lot of vegetables in it, you know.
Right.
For, you know, soups, it's the same thing. You know, even in stir fried rice, if you look at stir fried rice and you go into a Chinese restaurant, for example, there's a very little amount of meat, okay? And, you know, there's more scallions, perhaps peas, perhaps carrots,
right,
whatever it is they're
right.
putting in fried rice. The meat is just the flavor. And so the idea is to satisfy the senses with flavor. You know, when there's a great deal of flavor, when it tastes good, you don't really need a whole lot. You just satisfy, you know. I think it's when we're looking for that satisfying flavor and we haven't gotten it yet, that we just keep going for more food to just try and find that, you know. So, you know, healing in the sense that in Asia, the foods are healing in the sense that in many ways, it just teaches you to really hold back and to really consider, you know, each and every ingredient. And,
well, let me ask something else. Mm-hmm. What is that, the yoga position, the famous yoga position, what's it called, like dog down or something like that? What's the position?
Downward facing dog.
Yeah, downward facing dog. If I get in a downward facing dog position and eat a chocolate sundae, will that work?
Probably not. You know, yoga is practiced on an empty stomach. It should be practiced on an empty stomach, and the earlier in the day, the better. Yeah, but downward facing dog with ice cream in your stomach is probably not going to be good for you. It might come back out. I don't know. You know, just a thought.
I don't think anybody would sound like a good thing.
At all.
I don't think anybody would want to be in that yoga class with me if I did that anyway.
I don't know if anybody would want to be in a yoga class with you. I don't think ice cream has anything to do with it.
Yoga is a very healing practice. It helps detox the body. So there are a lot of different postures where, you know, you twist and it sort of massages, you know, the digestive tract, you know. And so, you know, even in any number of postures, it's not a good idea to be doing yoga on a full stomach, for sure.
Well, you know, we kid, and that's what we do on this show. And I was just kidding about that, but it does kind of sound interesting. I think I'm going to have to try it out to see if I could do it. But what do you have for plants in the future?
The
do you have another?
Or the,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, the both.
What are you trying exactly? Okay. Just like last week.
What do you have planned for the future? You said you got the deal going on with, I think you said June 23rd. You've got that coming up.
Yes.
With the
I'll be at Lake Austin Spa Resort.
Lake Austin Spa Resort,
yeah. From June 23rd to 26th, I will be teaching a four-day retreat, the yoga food, where we'll be, you know, I'll be featuring a meditation, guided meditation, food meditations, conscious, you know, or mindful cooking and eating practices, and also yoga, you know, to aid digestion.
Yes, I've got
a couple of books in the works. One more with the American Diabetes Association. For sure. And I've got a couple of other books that are out there right now with my agent. So that's, I can't talk about those yet.
Yeah,
but,
secret squirrel.
Very exciting. They're very exciting. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for sure, especially for what I've been working on for the last 3 years, which is the yoga food, you know, again, where I combine yoga, meditation, and food into one thing, you know, something for people to create a lifestyle around to help them, you know, because there's so much, you know, so many things out there, you know, promoting weight loss through supplements or through, you know, diet pills or through this kind of fad diet. And really, all you have to do is just really pay attention to what you're doing. That's all.
Right.
It takes no pills. It takes no, you know, no diet. It just takes you to do it. That's all, you know.
Well, we'll be thinking of you while we eat our bacon in the downward dog position. And thank you for joining us this morning. And everyone who's listening,
sure,
check
thanks.
Out Corrine's website, corrinetrang.com. You can find out more about her events, her new books, and what other things she's got in the works. And, Corrine, it was a pleasure. And keep us posted when your new things come out. Let us know. And you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And take care.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right. There
you go,
guys.
This guy right here will definitely be getting the – okay. Continue. Sorry.
What'd you say? No, go ahead. What'd you say?
I said this guy will definitely be getting the Asian cuisine diabetic cookbook thing because I need to get that and add bacon to every meal that she has in there. I'm going to try to make some Asian cuisine and add bacon to every one of them and see how that works out.
All right, and I got big news. I got big, big news to announce before we bring on our next guest. All I can say is it is BGE. Big news for us. Big Green Egg has now become a sponsor of the show, and that became effective this week, and we appreciate the Big Green Egg people joining us and helping us out with the show. And I'm going to actually play one of their little ads here, and we'll come back here and chat with our next guest. And just like I say, thank you, Big Green Egg. We appreciate your support.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
And you guys can find out more about the Big Green Egg if you go to biggreenegg.com. And you can find details for a dealer near you and check it out. All you have to do is go to the website, punch in your zip code, and it takes you to a local dealer. And they've got all kinds of cool options, different types of Big Green Eggs. They got small ones, medium, large. They got all kinds of accessories. And I'm looking forward to cooking on our Big Green Egg and report back in the future weeks as to how things are going. They say that even I can cook on it. Aaron,
Look, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that you can cook on it. But here's what I'm going to ask: when you cook on it, try not to put everything in one bowl. Try to separate some vegetables and some meat and make a separate meal instead of a goulash on the Big Green Egg. That's what we need.
Now, wait a minute. Time out. Did you see my post on Facebook last night?
Listen, you broke the thing up and you did all the, yeah, we're doing one part of the main course and then the marshmallow teeny and then blah, blah. Yes, I got it. But with the pork chops, what did you try to do? You try to take every single possible ingredient, stuff it into one pork chop. Here you go. It's all, you made a one bowl meal out of a pork chop. Still, doesn't matter. You still made a one bowl meal.
Well, rumor has it that he hates to do dishes. I think that's why he does this.
I know why he does it. Same reason that I like to have simple one bowl meals. But when you get on the egg, We gotta step the game up a little bit.
All right, we'll set the game up. Cause they say you can do, you know, pies. You can smoke it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can grill it. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting it. So everybody, check out the website biggreenegg.com. Punch in your zip code, go to your dealer, and get yourself a Big Green Egg. And on that note, I'm going to play music from our next guest, who's joining us at the, I guess it's 12:30 hour on the East Coast and 9:30 here on the West Coast, if I can find his file. Mark Madewell will be joining with us later on today, and I need to take a break anyway. So let me see if I can find – let me see. Laurie, I'm going to need your help here.
Yes?
Oh, no, I got it. Never mind, I got it. Boy, I thought we were getting ready to have a self-destruct there. Mark Madewell, this is a song called Reckless Self. We'll be back here after the song, and we'll be talking to our next guest, which is our good buddy, and you know him as Chef Jesse. His name is Chef Jesse Jones. He'll be joining us here right after we play the song. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
From death that night before I looked into your eyes, and holding you now, it's easy for me to realize I was growing closer to the light. I found you standing at the tunnel's end. Came to me as a lady, a lover and a friend. Girl, you came along and saved me from my reckless self. I have found true love, I'll never love anyone. Thank you.
are back, and that was Mark Madewell and his song Reckless Self. And Mark will be joining us in about a half hour, the half hour part of the show, 9:30 part of the show, not the half hour part of the show. And he's a country music singer, as you just heard, and a great writer, and he'll be joining us at 9:30. And while I was on break, I tried that downward doggy style position, and that's tough.
You know what? I'm actually not going to comment on that.
I think for the
sake of the show and the safety of our listeners, I'm not even going to comment. If we get started, I don't think I'll be able to stop myself.
Oh, well, anyway. Lori, do you have a food news show? Food news story for the show to save my butt here. Do you have anything quick you can tell us before we go to our next guest?
Before she finds that, can I tell you about a new show that I have found that I think is really awesome?
Yeah, we got nothing else to do. Just tell us what you have what you come up with today.
It's Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown. So Anthony Bourdain has several shows, you know, but Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown is a show that I've recently discovered. I think there are 7 or 8 episodes into it now. It's outstanding, man. It's just a show about him traveling to random places that you don't normally get to see the cuisine and the culture of the area.
Right.
And just get to see the different foods, the way things are prepared. It's a unique spin on these normal traveling around the world shows. Because it really does get not just into the food, but also the culture of the area.
Right.
A little history. It was just an awesome show. Definitely recommend
it. What channel?
I would like that.
Yeah.
What channel is
that? It's a CNN show. I think it's on Travel and CNN.
Okay. Do you feel better now that you got that off your chest?
I do. I've been wanting to. You know, I found out about it yesterday and got through a couple episodes, and I was like, man, I can't wait to talk about this. Because I know at some point the board's not going to work or he's not going to be able to get his computer to turn on. And we'll have some time to talk about something that's really cool.
Yes, well,
where has he been that's unique?
Say that again?
Where has he been on the episode that you find was really, really unique?
So far, Burma. He was in Burma, which, if you know, it's Myanmar is the place. Myanmar, yeah, is the place he's at.
Easy for you to say.
for the most part, is like super government controlled. You know, a lot of censorship. The newspapers get censored. Government has to look at it. People can't talk about things. They're just now allowing tourists in the area. But there's still places in the country that tourists are not allowed to travel to. So it's one of those things that until recently, if you were caught, you know, talking to a camera from a camera crew, that you could be imprisoned for years. It's just crazy. But it's finally opened up, and now he was there and got to go through. But it was really cool just seeing the different things that they do and how the people interact with one another. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Are you done?
What was the cuisine?
Oh, here we go. Would you guys like to run your own show? I'll just sit back and listen.
So
since
we're running our own show, they had these really tiny birds that looked like baby chicks that they put on skewers and deep fried.
No.
The whole bird. And they ate beak and all, and they were delicious.
I was going to say, it must be tough to eat the meat if it's that tiny with the bones, but they eat it. They eat the everything?
They eat the whole thing, every bit of it, yep. Yeah, that was just, you know, typically it's a lot of Asian cuisine, but, you know, that's just one of the different type of things, that street food type of deal.
Well, you guys get done. I'd like to bring our next guest on.
Bye, Aaron.
All right. Anyway, since, you know, while they're talking about eating baby birds in Burma and whatever else they're talking about, we have our next guest coming on and joining with us is Chef Jesse Jones, and he is a rising star on the culinary scene, and he's just getting started. He's into Southern cooking with a country French twist, and I'm so happy that we could have Chef Jesse on the show this morning, and he's one heck of a personality, and really just excited about having him on. And if the buttons are working this morning, I should have Chef Jesse on the phone here with us. Good morning, Chef Jesse. How are you this morning?
Hey, how you doing? I'm up after that story I just heard. I was sleeping.
That's a story to wake up, right?
I'm like, okay. How you doing?
I know.
Thanks for having me.
They were having a good time talking about eating baby birds and going to Burma, and I was just letting them go. Yeah, I felt like I was watching National Geographic there for a minute.
Yeah, you know what? For a minute there, it sounded like my life. You know, like when I try to tell people that, they're like, "You finished?" It was pretty cool though.
Well, Chef, welcome to the show, and
thanks for having me.
Where do we start? I was looking at your bio, and your bio
is
like an encyclopedia, so I'm going to let you start and tell people who you are, where you are, and what you're up to.
Well, yeah, well, actually, I am eventually going to try to, shorten that. You know, my life is so funny. I started at a very young age with my mother cooking, and to get back with my bio, it was like you don't have enough in your bio. And now it's like you have too much in your bio. So that's pretty much been like my life story. Like every time I come to the table, it was always something. I go back and try to come back. So trying to work on another part of the bio to kind of, you know, shorten it and put it into perspective of actually, you know, what I'm doing. But, it's pretty much self-explanatory, too, as you read it, and it's what I've been doing. So briefly, I started, you know, at a young age with my mother, and she introduced me to a chef that, you know, was in food service, Aramark Food Service. I don't know if you're aware of them. And I started washing pots, and he also was a restaurant guy, and I knew nothing about the restaurant business. He said, you know, you got a good eye. You're doing food service. But I had been doing food service and really just pulling stuff out of the freezer, already cooked, and putting it in the oven. I thought I was the man. And, you know, he said, well, you need to come to the restaurant life. And I walked in that kitchen. I was like, what is this? The chef was like, well, this is a restaurant. Can you cook? And I'm like, sure, I'm the best. And he put me on that line, and I didn't think I wanted to come back the next day. He called me and said, well, what do you think? I said, I can't take the job. He said, well, what's wrong? I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm, you know, like a fish out of water. He said, I'll tell you one thing. You know, if you want to learn how to cook, if you want to learn the restaurant business, you know, this is where you start. And then that's how my life began. I still was doing the food service in the morning, washing dishes and helping them out. And then I started working at restaurants at night. And then, you know, I would come in the morning with the food service, and I said, I'm the man. Y'all don't know nothing. Y'all open up boxes. I cook from trash. So that's how that had both of best worlds with that. And, you know, now I cook for a few celebrities in their home. I do the cooking class. Demos, you know, I'm at Bloomingdale's later, but I'm also trying to get, you know, pretty much what you're doing. I love what you do from the first time I saw your thing on Facebook. You know, I'm trying to do Chef Jesse Live where I'm having a good time and trying to interview chefs and let people know, you know, what I'm about. I really have a real story, but you know how the real stories are. Nobody really believes it until you kill somebody or so.
You've heard the old saying, when you tell somebody your story, half the people don't care, and if you've had problems, the other half think you deserve it. So it really, so from that perspective. So you actually, I'm reading through some of the stuff here, and now, are you actually a chef, if I'm reading this correctly, are you a chef for Tyler Perry?
Yeah, are you familiar with Kiss FM, the radio station back when, before he left? Well, he was doing a lot of, I never actually met Tyler personally, but I cook for his staff and, you know, all the shows that he had in New York, they would have like a green room session. And I was the chef there, so I felt like, you know, hey, I put that on there on the resume. But I met most of the cast, though, like Palmer Williams Jr. and just everybody that, you know, were, you know, on the Broadway shows, you know, a lot of celebrities, you know, Thelma Hopkins and Jack A. So it was a pleasure to work with them. So I just threw that in my resume because I was like, hey, I physically work with them, you know.
There you go.
Or whatever's wrong on there, I just wait until they stick the lawyers on me, then I'll take it out.
Wait till you get a piece of the fifth letter and then take it out.
But wait, I did cook for them. I cook for them. Yeah. I was there. His name was on the marquee.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, too. You talked about here in your bio about a pop-up restaurant. Now, what is that?
That was something I was trying to do. Funny that when I hear a good idea, I think that it's a great idea until I try to do it, and then it doesn't work. But I try to, you know, do that, you know, my cuisine and pop up. I say, hey, I can't really afford a full-fledged restaurant. I want to cook certain dishes. I want a certain clientele to come in, and so it didn't work. But I'm still working on it. If some places are, you know, interested in doing that in my area, I think, because I think that when you have a restaurant, it's tough. I had one, and it was tough, and I really said, wow, it'd be great when they started this pop-up concept. I'm like, it's great. You can just get an audience, you can cook for them, and then you can move on versus you
right.
really trying to survive. I really don't know, unless you got a great, great clientele, you got to be careful. When you're a great, great chef and you got a great clientele, you have to stay consistent. You can't drop the ball. And,
right.
you know, so I figure, hey, if I can pop up and just do my main dish and, you know, the courses that I want, you know, it's great.
Hey, if you pop up and you mess up, you can leave, right?
Exactly, yeah. You know, you don't have to worry about Board of Health, and you don't have to worry about, you know, the critics and folks saying this is too much, and, oh, I would have came, but I'm, you know, it's Lent, and I just haven't fished today. So, and you do all pork. So, you know, it's always an excuse in the business, quite sure. Every chef out there that's listening knows that. It's always something. Yeah, it was always something.
Now, you are kind of a celebrity there. You're in Newark, New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Newark. Right now I'm in Irvington, New Jersey, but I grew up in Newark, yes.
And you're kind of a celebrity
now,
there.
Can you hear me well? Because you're fading in and out. Can you hear me?
Well, I'm always fading in and out, but it has nothing to do with the radio. It has to do with what I'm drinking. But
Sounds great.
But you're kind of a celebrity there in New Jersey, and from what I understand, like, when you walk in a room, everybody says, hey, hey, there's Chef Jesse. So you've got kind of a big thing going on there, and you said you're going to start your radio show. When are you planning on starting your radio show?
I'm just trying to really put some feelers out and see how I can get it together. I mean, I don't really have a team, and it's just me, and I don't think that can actually work as long as it's been working for me. Now I've been doing things by myself, but I'm just trying to get, like, a little team. I was just listening to your little part. I like the way you know, you see how you have fun, and I like that. I like to have fun, and I won't say much goof off, but just like to have a lot of fun. So, and somebody did tell me, like, Jess, I listened to your interview, and get to the question. So let me get to that. Let me stop drifting off like the Anthony Bourdain story. No, I'm not going to say that. But I'm just kidding. I am working on that. And like I said, I'm just, you know, taking notes from the masters. I was, you know, liked your show when I saw. So I'm just kind of like, you know, checking things out and see how I can format it and just practice, because everything I've been doing been kind of, well, you know, every day says trial and error. But my thing just been trial, failure, and then still falling. And when I get back up, I just learn. And one chef told
right.
me when I first started cooking for him, he said, I hope you're not as stupid as you look. So I always, you know, took offense to it, you know, like, but then, you know, as I got older, I realized, like, you know what, hey, let me just, if I'm going to fail, let me fail well, and let me learn from it, you know? So
exactly.
when you see me now, I'm a little bit more fine-tuned. Maybe still a failure, but I'm fine-tuned. I'm a good failure, you know? I'm not a bad failure. It's a difference. You could be a bum, but then you could be a bum, you know? So it's different, you know?
Hey, Aaron. Aaron.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, you still there?
I'm still there.
All right. Did you want to ask Chef Jesse any questions, maybe talk about your Burma or your grilled little baby birds or anything like that?
They were not grilled. They were deep fried. I need you to get your facts straight whenever you're talking to me.
Deep fried. I'm sorry.
But I do understand. There's something that I definitely relate to, and it's something that everything's a great idea until I do it, and then it's just not such a great idea.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, we're like two peas in a pod, man. That's, you know, nothing ever works out
yeah.
the way it's supposed to when I do it. You know. Oh, but
right.
I am really
yeah.
good at failing. If you got to be good at something. If you got to fail, be
yeah.
good at it, right? So I'm with you,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
I know how it is.
Well, yeah. Oh,
first,
absolutely. You got to be good at it.
If at first you don't
succeed. Yeah, I'm sorry. You were just going in and out.
I said, if at first you don't succeed, then try again and again and again. That's how things happen. It's just like our radio show. We keep trying. We're not getting any better, but we keep trying week after week. That's what you got to do. And so, what do you got planned? What you got big plans for in the future? You got any things? Other things you're working on, like books or video series or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, I just lost my grandmother March 16th. She was 92. Amazing woman. Oh yeah, amazing woman. And I wanted to, show some light on her and kind of put her in the book and my family and my a little of my life. The book is going to be called The Chef Jesse Jones Story, The Curse of the Black Mask. That's another show.
Okay.
but yeah, that's what my future plans is. TV, the book, and just being around people like you guys. You seem like you guys have a lot of fun. I love to be around people. I love to hear their cooking tips, the culture. It's just what my mother was about. It's what I learned with my grandmother. And I just want to continue that legacy with her, with just loving people, reinventing myself for his recipes. I got this story that, you know, a lot of people is like, yeah, who's this guy, whatever. But if you meet me, you cook with me in the kitchen, you're going to find that I'm the real deal, number one. I'm a humble person. But, you know, it took me a long time to get these skills, you know. I had a conversation with a guy, and I went to school, culinary school, but then I clept out, and then I went to business school because I had worked with so many chefs for so long, but I felt like I needed that paper. But what I did, I am classically trained because I worked under four master chefs. And working under them, apprentices and showing me things, I still had to find my own direction. So my direction is just like you guys. You know, every week is a trial and error. My life is a trial and error, but I'm a faith rider, and I'm going to ride it out. I don't care if they got to drag me out of here, set me on fire, whatever. I'm going to keep pushing, you know? I mean, you have to, because at the end of the day, what do you got to lose, you know?
Exactly.
You got nothing to lose. The chef, I made the sauce five different ways, and he came and stuck his hand in it and said, not good enough. He made the sauce one time, and it's perfect. So, like, okay, wait a minute. After a while, you know, he has one variation. I have five. Each five dishes is not good. You can make one, and it's excellent. I'm like, okay, this is a game, you know, a head game. And I think that's what, you know, happens. So I figure, you know what I got to lose. So, you know, if I fail, is I'm going to keep trying. And that was my biggest thing. I know you don't have a long show because some people would be like, 1 minute I couldn't talk, and the next minute they're like, okay, can you cue him? Because he's running his mouth too much. Hit him off.
You have the wrong title. It's Chef Comedian.
Right. So, you know what? That's my whole life story. I didn't want to be a comedian, but he said I was. So, and then when I try to be a comedian, they say I'm not. So I can't win.
Welcome to my world.
They can't let the people.
I'm only funny inside of my own brain.
Yeah.
Hey Jesse, you live about 20 minutes from me. I'm in Cranford, and you're in Irvington. We're neighbors.
Oh really? Oh that's great.
See
well,
that?
We definitely have to connect.
Absolutely. Well, you called me we've been friends for quite a few years now. You called me years ago. I forget what you were asking me about a book or something you wanted to do. I forget.
Oh,
I don't remember. Was that 5 years
ago? Grilling Ideal set me up. Set me up? It's somebody I've been stalking. She's like, I'm not going to talk. You're just now talking like that guy tried to bug me.
Never. I get the whole phone from chefs asking questions. Never. About books and stuff. Nope.
Yeah. Well, when I called you, it's tough. You know, you get burned, but you have to learn. And I think the only way you're gonna learn is, you know, like I said, they do it, and it doesn't work, you keep moving. But the book is still, you know, on the works, and you know, I'm still trying to make it happen. You know, but
life.
Any
questions? Let me know. I'll help you.
Okay.
If they want to find you,
they can find you at facebook.com/JesseChef.Jones. And do you have a website too, or is that the best place to find you on Facebook?
Yeah, actually the best place is Facebook now, and I am working because I want a really good website where you can really go on and kind of just don't want to get off. I want the grandma thing. I want, you know, recipes. I want my, you know, my day-to-day running around. People think that I should get a reality show where I'm in the supermarket always telling people what to eat and do. I'm working on things like that for the website.
All right. Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning. I know you've got another event to go to. You got some kind of event to go to this morning, right, or this afternoon?
Yeah, well, it's raining over here, and it's blowing. It's windy, so I'm grilling indoors today. I'm at Bloomingdale's and Wayne. Yeah, and I'm grilling some jerk chicken on the little Cuisinart grill that they have there, encouraging people to stay in today. I think it's a perfect day. God is good to me.
Well, thank you. And you're welcome to come back. When you get your book done, let us know and come back on. You can tell the people about your new book. And everybody check out his Facebook page, which is jessechef.jones. And Chef Jesse, it was a pleasure. And like Laurie said, you should be Chef Comedian because you made us all laugh. And thanks for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right,
have a great day.
Care. All right, you too.
Don't forget that pal.
Bye, guys.
Don't forget that pal.
All right, bye-bye. Boy, you guys check out his website, and he's a very interesting guy and got a lot going on, as you can see, and I like his philosophy. And we're going to take a brief break. I'm going to play another Mark Madewell song. Mark's going to be joining us here in about eight or 9 minutes. Laurie, when we come back from the song, I need you to cue up some more food news. And this is Mark Madewell, and the song is called Just a Man. We'll be right back in about 3.5 minutes.
Now I've been known to fuss and fight, and I've been as sweet as honeysuckle on the vine. Right or wrong, I'm singing my song to you. Doing the best I can. Don't you know I'm just a man? My work boots look just like my hand. Guess that's why they call me a diehard man. But right or wrong, I'm singing my songs to you. Doing the best I can. Don't you know I'm just a man?
be joining us in just a few minutes. And how about that Chef Jesse Jones, guys? Wasn't he a blast?
Oh, my gosh. He's hysterical.
Did I lose Aaron?
No, I'm just not speaking out of fear of getting yelled at for talking too much.
Oh, my gosh. We hurt his feelings. I'm sorry, Aaron.
Hey, Laurie.
He's
going to
yell
at
us for not talking enough.
I know. Do you have a food news story you can share with us over the next few minutes?
Laurie, it can't take longer than 35 seconds, just so you know. He's going to yell.
Hey, I'm a Jersey girl. I can talk fast if I want to. I can rattle and talk for 5 minutes.
Well, start talking fast. Talk fast.
Okay. Okay, well, this is a funny little article and brilliant, knowing the way you like to combine unusual ingredients.
Yeah.
Do you think you would like a cheese and onion-flavored chocolate bar?
No.
Oh, my God. Actually, my stomach is turning right now.
Excuse me?
Are you serious?
What did you say, really? I'm serious. Yes. Many people have said it is wrong, but that hasn't stopped the Irish food company, Tato, from making a cheese and onion-flavored chocolate bar. Look, I'm half Irish. I don't know if I would eat it. I have to admit, no.
And they actually sell this.
Well, it says here the firm has already sold out of 100,000 bars it initially produced in response to the requests from people on social networks.
See, Aaron, my beet and yam pudding doesn't sound so bad now, does it?
You know what? I was actually just about to say that. I would probably eat your yam and beet pudding. If I was given the choice that I had to eat an onion and cheese chocolate bar or yam and beet pudding, you're damn right I mean yam and beet pudding. And I will eat yam and beet pudding with a smile.
Well, no, you eat the chocolate bar first, and you have the Pepto after.
Oh, no. The thought of that chocolate bar is scaring me to death. No.
You know what? What you always say about some of my recipes, Aaron? You do a little throw up in your mouth. The chocolate bar is making me sick.
The chocolate bar literally made my stomach. You know how when you start to feel sick, your mouth starts to salivate and your stomach starts to turn.
Yes.
She said onion and cheese chocolate bar, and that happened. Like immediately, like oh my God, I'm gonna lose everything that's inside of me right now. This is terrible. So,
the owner is quoted by saying. This is what the owner quoted. I couldn't believe the reaction, he said. what kind of reaction was he expecting?
Wait a minute. Is there a website? What's the website we can go get some of these? I think I want to get one. Do you have a website?
I don't see what... I hope I can continue reading. I'm laughing so hard reading the article. Plus, I read it so many times before, I was laughing every time I read it. I'm like, this can't be true. He goes, it went off the Richter scale with almost 500,000 impressions.
That's amazing.
The chief executive described the bar as crunchy chocolate and then a lingering taste of the cheese and the onion. Well, yeah, of course it's going to linger. Onion can linger for days.
Now you think about this. If I had a few weeks ago, if I had said to you guys, I'm thinking about making a chocolate bar and I'm going to add onions and cheese, you guys would have thought I was nuts.
Wait, you know what it says?
What?
Unsurprisingly, the treat has received a mixed response. Are you kidding?
By the way, today, if you said you wanted to make an onion and cheese chocolate bar, I would still think you were nuts. So the fact that someone else has done it already doesn't change the fact. However,
hey, look, he's half Irish. I'm in trouble.
but if we could get yam and beet pudding in a pudding container and get it on the shelves next to the onion and cheese chocolate bar, I bet we could sell more yam and beet pudding.
We need to
try that. I just can't believe, I mean, what was the name of this company again, Laurie, that has this chocolate bar?
Chocolate? T-A-Y-T-O. It's an Irish company.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to go find out. I want to order some of those. I actually now want to try it out just to see if the feeling that I'm getting in my stomach that I want to puke actually would happen if I ate it.
I know. There's just hearing it affected me so badly that I know if I took a bite, I might have to go to the hospital. I don't think I would ever stop vomiting, ever. Like it would be something that would happen for the rest of my life. I would never be able to stop.
I don't think that's going to be a mainstay for Hershey's, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, that story was good enough. Move on here. And, wow, that's a heck of a story. We're going to bring on our next guest. And you've heard some of his music throughout the show. His name is Mark Madewell, and he's a country music singer and songwriter. And he's joining us this morning from, I believe, Northern California. Let me push the button. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
All right. Do you want a chocolate bar that's got onions and cheese in it?
You know, I used to, before 5 seconds ago, love chocolate. But now I'm never gonna look at it the same way. Thinking that Lay's potato chips might have a product here with the chocolate flavored onion chip.
Oh no.
I used not to
love only
chocolate.
We're ruining chocolate bars, we're ruining potato chips this morning. Oh.
I think I'll just have some biscuits and gravy and be safe.
There you go. Well, welcome to the show, Mark. Appreciate you joining us, this crazy food show. And we've been listening to your music this morning. Great stuff. And wanted to have you on to introduce you to the folks that listen to our show. And I have to apologize to you. Our Blog Talk radio system was not working properly, and I didn't get to promo you on our show and tell people about you and your website and all that, because every time I entered it, for some reason, it would disappear. So I apologize for that. So let's start off right off the bat. If people want to find you on the internet, do you have a website?
I'm at mark.madewell@yahoo.com, and they can also find me on Facebook at Mark Madewell, Mark with a C. We're getting everything together right now to get us a web page and start getting everything circulating out there for the people if they're interested to check me out and buy some stuff.
Well, you got some great music, and I wanted to find out a little bit about you. How long have you been in the music business?
Well, my dad, he jokes with me a lot. He says, boy, you've been wailing ever since you were born. So I've been performing since I was about 7 years old around Bakersfield and surrounding areas with my dad and his little band. And then about 10 years ago, I just started writing some songs and then started putting some things together, and some people started to seem interested in what I was doing, and so I just started to roll with it and, you know, trying to make a career out of it.
Well, it's good. It's really good stuff. Now, the songs we've been playing, the last two songs, did you write both those songs? I played Just the Man, and the other one was Fuck the Self.
Yeah, I wrote all the songs on the Just a Man album that's coming out.
And when is that album coming out?
That'll be out in about 10 days, I think. 10 days it should be.
Oh, good.
We should be trying to circulate it around.
Good. And you can. You said you're getting a website set up so that you can sell those. And if people want to buy your music, where can they find that? And will you have the website set up in about 10 days?
Yeah, I'm going to try to have that website going, but if not, we can always, you know, you can always go to Facebook and message me, or you know, put a comment on my wall asking, and I'll reply right back to you. And we might try to set up a PayPal or, you know, one of those things, but it's going to be fairly easy if we just go through Facebook.
All right. I'm going to play another one of your songs. This one's called Love Song, and this this is one of those songs that the ladies will like, and I'll play that, and then we'll come back, and we'll probably talk about music, and maybe we'll talk about chocolate bars, onions, and cheese again. So everybody hang tight. This is Mark Madewell.
Wish I could write you a love song, one that you could know by heart. Wish I could write you a love song, and loving you is a perfect place to start. Wish I could ride across this country with you, like two outlaws on the run. Wish I could ride across this country with you, you and me chasing the summer sun. All of my life I prayed for someone just like you. And our love will stand the test of time. Teresa, the owners, have been good to me and let me come in there and sing. And so
they've kind of put this little thing together up here, and so we're going to do that. And so we're slowly but surely getting the ball going on this thing.
As I said, your music is excellent. I love the music, and you need to sit down and write us a song, a Green Ideas radio song, and throw in there some chocolate and some onions and cheese and come up with some kind of little ditty for us.
Well, that's a done deal, then. I'll get that going, and I'll call you guys back in 15 minutes. We can throw something in like... Yeah, that'll be a good one. But I appreciate you guys having me on the show. It really means a lot to me, and I appreciate you helping me get my name out there, my music out there.
Well, thank you for joining us, Mark. And everybody check out Mark on Facebook and check out his new CD. And it sounds like it's going to be a good one. And you're welcome to come back anytime and keep us posted. And good luck with the concert coming up with Lori Morgan. Sounds like it's going to be a good deal for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. And there you go, everybody.
Yeah,
y'all
have a good day.
Check out Mark Madewell. He'll hook you up with his new CD on Facebook. And it's M-A-R-C, spells Mark, M-A-R-C Madewell, M-A-D-E-W-E-L-L. And it's always neat to introduce new people and things they're doing. Lots and lots of talent out there, and it's so cool that we get to have these people on. And it's just, it's weird to me that all the talent, and there's only a few major stars, and everybody, all these people like Mark and some other folks we've had on the show, it's just unbelievable the talent that's out there, but you never really hear about them. I guess it's the old thing about it, you ain't what you know and who you know, it's who knows you. So we wish Mark the best.
Well, Lori Morgan, that concert with Lori Morgan, that puts him on the map. I mean, Something in Red, I have her CD. I love her.
Aaron, are you alive?
Yes.
He's throwing up from the cheese and onion chocolate bar.
I'm still trying to recover from dying.
Do you have any exciting barbecue news to share with us?
At the moment, no, but barbecue rules.
Yes, it does. Barbecue does rule. Or grill-becue, as I call it.
Oh, God, I still want to punch you. But no, we'll be barbecuing, doing some ribs on Monday. I'm really excited about. Spending a few hours just making ribs for no apparent reason other than to make ribs and look at them in all their glory.
Well, I myself am looking.
I definitely will. There were definitely pictures.
I said he used to take pictures and then post it.
Yes, he definitely should. Laurie, we got a few minutes here, and I'm back to you. You got any more great news you want to tell us? Is there somebody out there who's invented like cotton candy that tastes like something crazy like macaroni and cheese or something?
I know someone who created something crazy that tasted like something crazy because I looked at it and it looked crazy.
What was that?
A freaking marshmallow teeny.
The marshmallow martini. Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it?
It was kind of cool, actually. I have to give you credit for that.
I did too. I bet that tasted amazing.
There's one with the vanilla cake, birthday cake, vodka, and the because you know they make there's also a marshmallow vodka.
There is. I didn't know that.
There's already a marshmallow vodka out there. So. And it's not bad. It's just super, super sweet. That's what I thought, like, the marshmallow teeny would be. But I didn't understand. It looked like you used marshmallows out of a Lucky Charms box. That is the part that I didn't understand.
And they
literally, like, you dug through Lucky Charms, and you took the marshmallows out, and you made a marshmallow teeny out of Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Well, look, I went to Albertsons yesterday to get the ingredients because I didn't have all the crazy ingredients that you had put on last week's contest, especially dates, for God's sake. Who has dates in the house? I had a hard time finding dates at the supermarket, by the way. And I'm not talking about girl dates. I'm talking about the fruit date. But
you wouldn't have a hard time with that one.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, really. But anyway, the marshmallows, they were on sale, of course,
and they had tons. Well, I guess marshmallows don't. You can't weigh them in tons, or they don't weigh anything. But they had just a whole slew of marshmallows that were shaped like that, and it was like two packs. What was it? Two packs for $2. So that's why I chose the Lucky Charm marshmallows, because they were on sale.
But it was just, it was funny to me that it was like, of course, why wouldn't he dig through a box of Lucky Charms, pull out the marshmallows, and make a marshmallow teeny out of Lucky Charms? And I just totally wasn't so far off the wall when I thought about where it was coming from. I was like, yeah, that actually makes complete sense right now. I'm surprised they weren't like, I'm surprised you didn't like puree the Lucky Charms and the whole thing together, and it was a Lucky Charms martini with marshmallows.
Well, I have
to
tell you,
probably had them sitting in the vodka.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was actually tried to do something different. It didn't turn out. I was taking, and don't try this at home. I took marshmallows and white and red wine and dates, and tried to put it into a mixture and make it into kind of like a pudding.
Oh my god!
I tell you, that didn't work. So that was plan A. So plan B was okay. Huh?
It could work. You would just need about a pound and a half of confectioner's sugar if you didn't add that to it. I mean, that could work with the wine and the dates and the marshmallows and just a lot of sugar.
No,
it could work.
It didn't taste
That's
right.
True.
When you put the, I don't know. The dates made it taste nasty. It was okay until I put the dates in there, and the dates did something. I don't know what it did. It didn't work.
So that's why
anyway.
You need all the sugar to cut down the acidity, because it was very acidic. And that's why you would need the sugar to cut down the acidity and make it would be good. I think it could work. It was
well,
just
then
smart,
you try it out. You got any marshmallows and dates left over?
No, I don't buy that stuff. Are you kidding me?
All right. Well, we wasted some time on that one. Laura, you got any more food news you want to share with us? It seems like the clock is crawling this morning. You got any more food news?
Well, nothing that's quick. I have some
You got plenty of time. You got like 10 minutes, so you got to be able to find it.
10 minutes?
On your list of all your, of all of your little ditties you got on that piece of paper, you can't find a little food news that takes about 10 minutes?
Well, I could do that. I thought maybe I had like 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
Well, now you got you got 9 minutes because you keep talking.
Aaron, he's letting me talk. I can't believe it.
I know. I don't understand what's going on right now. It's like there's got to be something really weird happening in the Grilliant land right now, and it's kind of freaking me out. He's letting someone else talk. I don't understand what is happening right now.
Laura, you now have 8.5 minutes now, Laura.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, real quick, Aaron, I think you're right. If he adds sugar to that, that would taste better because the wine is tart. So
yeah.
It needs time to marinate and get sweet. That sounds good. Okay. Anyway, a concept that's very hot in Europe right now, and I suspect it will come to the States, is a new kind of drive-in shopping. It says here, you enter your order on a website and then pick up the merchandise, not in a supermarket, but in a drive-thru, like a bank.
I like that idea. That's cool.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to have something at the end after I found this article. It says, this concept has taken close to 5% of the retail food business in France. It's primarily food, but I can see it growing into other categories as well. Quote, we have to not rest on our laurels. I believe Massachusetts has the wherewithal, it's got the ingredients, and we need a good policy, and we need people to say it's not okay to stay where we are and be comfortable. So that's all they really said about the whole thing. They didn't get into it too deep, but I know for a fact the ShopRites here on the East Coast, it's a huge business for them. I think I mentioned this one time before. People, they don't want to shop for food anymore. They order it online. And then they just drive through, and they pick it up. And for $10 more, ShopRite delivers it to the house.
Well, it's a cool idea for lazy people. But you know what? I actually like going in the supermarket.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I
really enjoy walking through, like, the produce section and picking out produce. And looking at the meat and deciding what I'm going to pick.
Yep.
I mean, I like picking out what I'm going to eat personally. I don't necessarily, unless I'm going to a restaurant, but I don't want somebody else picking out what I'm going to be cooking at home.
Well, it's weird. It might be the fact.
Well, Laurie, it's personal shoppers that they have, right? So, in other words, you call in your order. What I don't get is, let's say you want 3 tomatoes. Does this person who works for the store go and supposed to select the proper tomatoes for you?
Yeah, they're really strict. As a matter of fact, they have the best of the best produce, and they know their customers when they order. It gets to tell you, like, what kind of meat. I mean, there's so many selections. What kind of meat you want, what size you want. It's amazing to me. It's very detailed. Yeah. My brother works for part-time at the seafood department there in one of the shop rights, and he knows all about it. And like I said, this is they haven't even touched the surface of this. My family, they hate food shopping. They're like, oh, I got to go food shopping. I don't feel like it. So a lot of people don't want to do it.
I'm like Aaron. I like to go and pick out what I want, and I do my little calculation of what I can find for sale. I'm always looking for deals and go through the meat and find the best meat. I mean, I tore up the meat department trying to find the right pork chops because they had they had all the nasty stuff on top. I dug in through the pile, so that's why I like going there
because
I can get the deal.
Well, I go because I can ask the butchers in the meat department, hey, I would like double cut pork chops,
right.
And I like to double cut pork chops, especially when I'm stuffing them. But it's not just that; it's part of it. Like going into some of the stores and just walking through and finding things that I've never purchased or seen before.
Right.
You know, there is a store here in town which is just crazy. Just all the stuff. It goes from Asian to Hispanic to food. So it's all these different ethnic group food areas. It's just the craziest stuff you've ever seen, and you know I like going in and just picking up something that I've never cooked with or never tasted before, and then bringing it home and trying it out. You know, if I don't see it, I'm never gonna know about it, and I don't know. And it might be for some, but I don't think the personal shopper or drive-through grocery is gonna be for me.
Like yesterday, if I, who would have picked? No one would have known that I would want those Lucky Charms marshmallows. I had marshmallows on the list. They would have given me the little cube ones. When I went in there, I said, hey, look at those. They're shaped like diamonds, hearts, and stars.
Yeah, you'd have got either big white marshmallows or the little cube marshmallows, but you wouldn't have gotten Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Lucky Charms marshmallows,
yeah. And we wore that story out. So let's see. We got 7 minutes. Good. It gives me time to say congratulations again to Brian Fairchild for winning our What's in the Cupboard contest. And, Brian, we'll be sending you your prize. And Pete Bennick, thank you for participating. We'll be sending you the prize. Make sure everybody checks out whatsinthecupboard.weebly.com. We'll be posting the new ingredients for next week's contest. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to wait and see. What?
Isn't Brian coming on the show as a guest here soon?
Yeah, I think I got him scheduled for June 15th.
Oh, awesome. Perfect. That'd be fun. Somebody else to make fun of. Huh?
Yes, exactly, because, you know, he's an easy target, too, on top of all
that. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Laurie, do you have anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Well, I just want to say I've had Brian's cooking, and he really is unbelievable. He is so creative. He can whip something up so quickly and blend ingredients. And I told him because it comes from the heart. He loves what he does, and you can tell when Brian's cooking something that he definitely loves what he does. And I think, Aaron, you sound like the same. You sound like you can just, because you love the food, you can just whip anything up, and it comes together great.
And mine.
You love your food too, Brilliant.
No, mine doesn't come from my heart. Mine comes out of my butt.
Brilliant, do you have to end on a note like that?
I kind of made it a point to make fun of Brian a little bit this week without really making fun of him. So he posted his black rice shrimp cooking thing. So yeah. I had to go ahead and make an etouffee, but I had to make a SpongeBob-looking rice castle. And that was the whole idea, was I had to make it look like SpongeBob's pineapple house under the sea, completely covered with shrimp etouffee. And I was kind of making fun of Brian without making fun of Brian at the same time.
That was a fine-looking meal, by the way. Aaron, I thought it looked good, Aaron. It looked like it was kind of tipping over, but it looked pretty good. Was it good?
Oh, man, it is absolutely delicious. And, you know, not everybody here, like, again, because I talk about this on a weekly basis, not everybody here likes the same kind of foods that I like. They like things a little more simple. But everyone just killed it. You know, they couldn't get enough, so that's always a good thing.
Well, guys, we've shot through the 90 minutes, and we made it through another show, and everybody join us next week. I don't even have my list of people who's supposed to be on, but we got a whole crew of good people coming on, food people, et cetera, coming on next week and the weeks to follow. And I'm going to close out the show with a guy who was on our show, plays the harmonica. His name is Big John Nader, and his song is called Hoochie Coochie Man. I think that's appropriate for my last comment earlier. So everybody, have a nice weekend and enjoy it and go out and cook something and have a nice Memorial Day holiday. And Laurie, Aaron, you guys be good. And here we go, Hoochie Coochie Man. See you guys next week.
Take care, guys. It was fun.
Gonna sit down in the kitchen and fix us up the good to eat. And make my hand a little high, make the whole day sweet. Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty, mama, and put a good buzz on. Well, pass it to me, baby, well, pass it to me slow. I'll take that out the smile, then before we let it go. Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty, mama, and put a good buzz on.
Missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.